Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens, bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens, brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things.
Happy Throwback Thursday, everybody.
Happy Thursday, folks.
Did you swallow, Kevin? I'm sorry. You took like a gulp of coffee right as I started talking.
I'm drinking some coffee right now, and it's good, yeah.
Where are you, Kevin? You're not in your usual Astoria location.
I am not. I'm recording from South Carolina. I'm visiting my folks right now, my mom and my sister and her husband and their four kids came out. They live in Georgia. And we are spending the week together.
That's lovely.
McCormick, South Carolina, right on the border of South Carolina and Georgia.
How's the weather in South Carolina?
You can't see you guys, but Rob is fanning himself right now, and it's really lovely. Actually, we were just sitting on the porch, and it is a beautiful out. It's very cool, crisp, and then in about an hour, it's going to be so hot you can't go outside. So it's
that makes me miss California.
Yes,
I want to go back to California. Hey, have you been watching Fosse Verdon, Hacha, Whoopi?
I am so obsessed, but I must confess to you, I have not seen the most recent episode because I'm going to watch it with my mom and my sister today.
Amazing.
But I have watched both episodes twice, the first
two. Oh, yeah.
Because I'm just – you know, and I must say, and listeners, obviously you catch all of this, I love the little Easter eggs in there. I love the little like, oh, yeah, I saw Dick's most recent show. Everyone hated it, but I liked it. Do I hear a waltz? You know, I just think these little – I don't know. It makes the little theater nerd in me so happy that we are watching – this dramatization of this art form that we love so much. And I know I said it last week or 2 weeks ago, but I just can't believe that this is on television. I just am so happy. It's so good. Michelle Williams, though, we were all, before we went on air, go. Yeah. Michelle Williams.
Oh, no. I was going to say Kevin. Michelle Williams, if she doesn't win an Emmy for this series.
I mean, come on.
There's no justice in this world. She is so brilliant. I mean, Sam Rockwell obviously is great too, but Michelle Williams, this show should have just been called Gwen Verdon.
I know, and I just love that they're showing the impact she had on his life, and well, all of the women on his life, you know, what they did for him. I mean, Joan McCracken was a favorite thing, and you know, I love seeing, you know, unfortunately, they're, you know, what they went through, but you see that she built him up into where, you know, to where he, you know, choreographed and all of that, and then how Gwen swept in and helped elevate his career even more. But it's just, I love this series so much.
Michelle Williams is absolutely fantastic. Although I've heard a couple of rumblings in our musical theater community.
Yeah.
And this is a question I'm posing to our listeners to give us feedback on. The question is the series making it seem like Bob Fosse was a no talent hack who couldn't really do anything without Gwen Verdon? So the question that's coming up is some people are saying that they make this series like
interesting.
He couldn't really do anything, and she did everything, and he was like,
I don't know how to do cabaret. Gwen, come out to, you know, Germany and help me, and then it's fixed. It's television though. It's entertainment. You have to have a conflict. You have to have a. It's not real life. I mean, it's based on it, but come on.
We shall see, folks. But this week's episode, episode 3, really dives into Gwen Verdon's backstory. If she doesn't win an Emmy for this episode alone, like I said, there is no justice in the world, and I will get very angry and throw a shoe at my television.
All right. Question.
Yes.
Do you think, or have you heard other people that you're friends with think that it's confusing? You stop it. The way they jump around in time, because we all obviously we know when they're talking about Damn Yankees, I know what decade it is. When they're talking about Cabaret, I know what decade it is. Do you think that the average watcher who doesn't know, do you know what I'm saying?
That's a fabulous question because, like you said, I think we take for granted that you're right, when they say it's Damn Yankees, we go, oh yeah, and that came before Cabaret, and we know this and we know that. Because we know it, I don't have an issue with it, but I hate to say this, I don't really have a lot of friends that aren't involved in the business. And if they are, I don't know. I have to say, I just don't know.
Yeah.
I just don't know. I wish I could answer that.
And I would say, listeners, what do you think? But you guys, you all know everything about theater as well. So it's
you know more than we do.
But I'm curious. But Well, you had concerts last night.
I did have a concert last night. I had an Elton John concert and Alanis Morissette concert, and it was a lot of
and
fun.
How did it go?
And we had, it was a blast. I was not asked to sing, even though I was directing and producing the concert. I still did not ask myself, so I hate the director. He just doesn't appreciate me. And it went really, really well. Also, very quickly, we had a weekend of theater going this past weekend. We saw Burn This, we saw Hadestown, and we saw Ink. Three fabulous days in the theater, all very fulfilling.
Oh, so different, too. All of them so different, but so just smart and entertaining. And it was a great weekend. I had so much fun. And to spend it with you, Rob.
You're so sweet, Kevin. Now, Kevin, I'm going to keep talking for a second, but you look a little pixelated on your end. I can hear you perfectly, but you look a little pixelated. It's like I'm watching Sunday in the Park with George. So I don't know if it's your internet connection, but you're doing that funny little freeze frame thing that I like. You guys know what I'm talking about? It looks like every like 5 seconds, like Kevin has like jumped into a different position. It's very fun to watch.
Oh, sorry.
Don't apologize. I just want to make sure we can hear your beautiful dulcet tones.
I will try not to move too much, and I will stay here. Like
I want this to be like a no Japanese theater piece where you will stand there for 45 minutes and then blink once, and we go, that is a performance. I'm a theater scholar. I know these things.
You do know these things.
I got my PhD in theater/buffet. God, if I could get a PhD in dinner theater, oh my God, why is this just coming to me now? And thank God you're all there to witness it.
I love dinner theater so much. I know it sounds crazy, but I used to love going to see dinner theater when I was in college.
Me too.
There was a theater in Ohio called Carousel Dinner Theater that unfortunately closed, but they used to have put on some good shows back in the day.
At the Carousel Dinner Theater?
The Carousel, that's right. You know what was really exciting? I'm going to fangirl out for a minute. When we sat down at Hadestown on Saturday, sitting right behind us, one Lin-Manuel Miranda, and I must tell you, I got excited when I saw him. I fangirled out a little bit. It was really kind of cool.
I thought not only was it awesome to see him there, but I really appreciated how like there were all these people there wearing like Hamilton sweatshirts and t-shirts, and nobody bothered him. Like nobody
bothered him.
In the theater, they just treated him equally.
I was really surprised by that.
Except there was one guy who I don't know if he knew him or not. Like ran up to him at intermission and just like plopped down and talked his ear off. And I don't know if Mr. Miranda was being polite, but he looked very engaged. But I'm like, leave this guy alone. It's intermission. He wants to enjoy his junior mints. Like, let him be happy. He's here with his wife. Let them talk. They don't want to hear about your upcoming projects.
No, just chill.
Or maybe they do.
How about that special moment, though, during the show? And actually, Lynn, he tweeted about it. But do you remember there's a girl who she reacted to this one moment during the show at the very end. And she said, no. And then during the curtain call, I think the same individual was very moved by the performances. And there was the curtain call and all of that. And she was much like me when I saw that concert of Violet and I couldn't stand up because I was crying so bad. And Roz Ryan was like, oh, baby. Well, this individual was crying as well. And Andre DeShields, previous guest, wouldn't you know it, he's the last one to leave the stage, took out his kerchief, you know, his little pocket square, and gave her his handkerchief so she could cry into that. I thought that was really classy.
It's Andre being classy. I hope he gets a Tony nomination. So the three shows we saw this past weekend, all wonderful press seats, so thank you, our lovely press reps. First one was Burn This.
Wow.
Which is a lovely play with former guest Brandon Uranowitz in it.
Yeah.
It was hysterical. But I don't know. I think Kevin and I, we both feel the same way. Adam Driver's performance was electric. Absolutely electric.
I'm in love with him. He's amazing. Like he walked into that, he flew into that theater, that scene. It was unbelievable. I had no idea. I saw him in Mrs. Warren's Profession years ago, and he was great. But this was just, it was unlike anything I've seen in the theater, that kind of power and strength and force and vulnerability. And it, there were so many layers to that. And I was rocked by it. Completely
it's a tour rocked. De force performance. And it is one of the best performances I've ever seen in a theater, hands down. He was just absolute and believable. Like, I think you what did you say about his lines?
I said, like, everyone's doing a great job, and then he goes into the show, and I felt like he wrote it. Like, these lines coming from him just felt like they were his dialogue, his own life. I mean, it felt like he wrote it. It was so real.
It's really special. It was a very special performance. So if you haven't seen it, please make your way down to the Hudson Theater and go see Burn This. One, not only to see our former guest Brandon be brilliant, and Brandon is so funny in this play, but Adam's performance is one of those that I'm like, I don't think you see these very often.
Nope.
I don't think you get a performance like this very often. And of course, the rest of the cast is lovely too, but it's really Adam Driver's play. My hope is, and I know Tony nominations are coming out April 30th, and of course, folks, we will be doing our regular Tony broadcast where we sit down and try to figure out who might win the awards. I'm sure Adam will get a nomination. I hope that he wins, and it's pretty hard because I feel like people have already made up their mind that the award's going to go to Bryan Cranston for Network.
Yes,
but
that's right.
Please, and Bryan Cranston is a genius actor, but please, I think we should all reevaluate our voting before we go into our Broadway polling booths and cast our Tony votes. But I have no problem saying this. I know that if I were voting, I would be voting for Hadestown for Best Musical, because that was a magical, wonderful experience.
I was so moved. I was just so completely moved by it. And the performances, of course, are beautiful, but the score is stunning. And the storytelling and the direction, Rob, that direction was just incredible.
Rachel Chafkin also directed Natasha Pierre in The Great Comet of 1812, and she did not win a Tony that year, went to Chris Ashley for Come From Away, that was brilliant. That was a very hard year to decide because both of their direction was so brilliant. What Rachel does, I think, better than any other storyteller is she elevates all the material that she works on. She makes all of these things a unique theatrical experience. And Hadestown is absolutely no different. It has a former guest in it. It has the wonderful Andre DeShields, who is the narrator of the evening and does that so brilliantly. But Hadestown really is as special as everybody says it is.
It really is. It really is. It was a great day in the theater. Yeah.
I think the word on the street is this is the show to beat for the Tony. But Tootsie just opened up to really fabulous reviews. Tootsie has one of the funny – everyone is saying this in their reviews.
The book.
Robert Horn's book is one of the funniest books I have heard in a musical in at least 10 or 15 years.
Wow.
Wouldn't you agree? Oh, you haven't seen it yet, right?
Not yet. No, okay. Not yet. No, I'm going to.
So let me know. Let me know when you go, because it is –
No, but that's right. Everyone was talking about the book, which, you know, that's not usually something people walk out of the theater saying, unless it's Gypsy. No one says, oh, that book, the book is amazing. You usually overlook that. You say, oh, the songs, the set. But I'm really excited to hear this. And here's the comedy that's going to, you know, entice us.
It is funny. It is funny, 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 funny. And then, in between, then we had a two-doché, as the kids say, on Saturday, because not only did we see that, we saw Ink, but before that, Kevin and I did one of our favorite things, which is we got to meet some listeners who listened to the podcast. We got to meet Wyatt, who lives in New York, with his boyfriend, Stephen.
Andrew.
And... it's a private joke because I called Andrew by the wrong name once accidentally. And so now I call him every other name in the book I can find. So when we met
and you guys know Rob loves, you know, the pronouncing of names and using the correct names. Rob, that's Rob's thing. Yes, of course.
And so it was mortifying for me. But luckily Wyatt and Chloe were very cool about it. So when we had dinner with Wyatt and Stefan, one of the things we were talking about was all the wonderful shows that are happening this season. And because the season is wrapping up, folks, we'd love to hear from you. What were your favorites? What did you like? Maybe what things were not your cup of tea? And what you think is going to be nominated for the Tony Awards?
Yes.
Then we saw Ink at Manhattan Theater Club, which is a play about Rupert Murdoch, who created Fox News, but his beginnings in England in the late 1960s. And I think you're either going to go in and show and you're going to love it or you're going to hate it. It's either your British cup of tea or it's not. I really, really liked it. I'm a little confused, folks, though, in terms of the marketing, because it's all about, oh, Rupert Murdoch this, Rupert Murdoch that, and Bertie Carvel from Matilda's playing Rupert Murdoch, and he's on the flyers for everything. He's really a very small supporting character in this play. It's really the story of Larry Lamb, who worked for Rupert Murdoch, played brilliantly, I think, by Johnny Lee Miller, yes, who's really the person who creates this news environment that we're all living in today. People go, oh, it was all Murdoch. Well, according to this play, it's really Larry Lamb, and Murdoch just took what Larry created and ran with it. It's very, very British, though. Would you agree with that, Kevin, in terms of it's like...
Yes. Oh, yes. It's very wordy. But I will say this. You know, the theater in England, some of it is subsidized by the government. So, you know, they were able to produce things that maybe would not see the light of day in a commercial run. And on Broadway, of course, we have these, you know, big commercial runs of plays like Network and all of that. But I a shout out to the not-for-profit theaters that are on Broadway, because we would never see a play like this, I think, in a commercial run if we didn't have the Manhattan Theater Club that has a subscriber base and donors and all of that, and we have, you know, ways of working around not being subsidized by the government. So, you know, I'm happy that this is playing Broadway, that we get to see it. I don't think it would probably be here if it weren't for this regional theater that's on Broadway. But yes, it felt like there were moments I thought, is this a Tom Stoppard play? This is just so intellectual and smart and British, very, very British. But it was very entertaining. And the set was beautiful. I can't believe I just said the set. But I just thought the production was really wonderful. It was. The set was really cool.
Go online and see if you can find photos of the set. It's all of these desks, like newspaper desks, stacked one on top of another. And that's what they use. They use those as platforms. They use them as playing spaces. And Johnny Lee Miller's performance is fabulous.
Fantastic.
It was so good. I hope he gets a Tony nomination. So we'll see. We shall see. But it was a wonderful weekend of theater going. And then I'm seeing Beetlejuice on Friday.
Oh, I wish I could go. You're so lucky.
I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I like that. And then I need to see three more shows, and I've seen the season, folks.
Is this the first time you've ever done that, Rob?
Yeah.
Because I know that you set out for this, and I'm so impressed.
Yes, I only missed one.
Which one? Which one did you miss?
Straight White Men.
Well, you know what? It's okay.
I see enough of those on the street every day.
Exactly.
So that's that. But now I think it's time for our favorite thing.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Raindrops on roses. Let's do it. Well,
once again, somebody asked, what is that recording? I will tell you again, it is Tennessee Ernie Ford singing My Favorite Things.
There
famous singer Tennessee Ernie Ford from the 1950s and 60s. You might remember him as Cousin Ernie on the I Love Lucy shows. Cousin Lucy, Cousin Ricky.
Crickets.
Those crickets are my friends.
And I think that recording is a part of that. You had a favorite thing a couple years ago. Can you believe it's been years? But the Capitol Records, Capitol Sings, I believe it may have been featured.
It's on
Am I wrong?
Yeah, I think it's on there. So. For those of you who don't know what we're talking about, Capitol, about 20, 30 years ago, released this amazing CD set where it was like Capitol sings Rodgers and Hammerstein. And it's like 19 songs that were produced, 19 songs by Rodgers and Hammerstein that all came from different Capitol record albums. So like you might have like Doris Day sing a song, or Frank Sinatra sing a song, or, you know, Dean Martin sing a song.
Peggy Lee, yeah.
It's really fabulous. Like we've talked about this before, some of the arrangements are very bizarre, but 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a lovely experience.
Yep.
And actually, speaking of CDs, my favorite thing is a CD.
Ooh.
Okay, are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
You might know this title. This is a new CD, folks. This is a new album that just came out. And I'll tell you where you can purchase it in a hot second. But I'm very, very excited by it. This was an album that was produced by Florida Atlantic University's record label. One more time, Florida Atlantic University's record label. How cool is that?
Yeah.
So, all right. So there is a gentleman named Michael Zager, who is the director of Florida Atlantic University's commercial music program. Okay. And he wanted to create an unusual educational experience. So here is what he created. Are you ready for this, Kevin?
Okay.
It is called Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Composers and Lyricists Sing Their Songs. One more time, it's an album called Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Composers and Lyricists Sing Their Songs. A collection of 27 songs from such musicals as Frozen, Wicked, Dear Evan Hansen, Annie, Fiddler on the Roof, with people like Sheldon Harnick, Robert Lopez, Jason Robert Brown, Pasek and Paul, Charles Strauss, all giving you some history on the song before they play it themselves. And sing
what?
It. How cool is this, right?
Very, very, very cool.
Okay, so I'm just going to run through the set list if I can really quickly so you can buy it. So Waving Through a Window from Dear Evan Hansen, For Good from Wicked, Corner of the Sky, Pippin, Beautiful City, Godspell, Put on a Happy Face, It's a Hard Knock Life, Once Upon a Time, Let It Go, There's a Fine, Fine Line, You and Me from Book of Mormon, Miracle of Miracles from Fiddler, I Don't Understand the Poor from Gentleman's Guide, The Old Red Hills of Home from Parade, and hearing how Jason Robert Brown crafted that song is absolutely fabulous. So every single one of these songs, like I said, has the composer or lyricist discussing how the song came to be, and then they sit down and they play the song for you. It's really, really great. So
for instance, like Charles Strauss with Put on a Happy Face, I've heard the demos, of course, that he made, you know, years and years ago. This is him today. Now. Like, this it's him now.
It's all of them now singing and playing. Because there's like nobody on here that's deceased. You know what I mean? It's not
of
like.
Of course. Yeah. It's not just some archived, you know, recording. Rob, I never even heard of it. What's the title of it called again?
Once again, it is called Behind the Curtain, Broadway's Composers and Lyricists Sing Their Songs. One more time. Behind the Curtain, Broadway Composers and Lyricists Sing Their Songs. And we'll post a link for everybody. But, you know, congratulations to Michael Zager, because it's really a fabulous album.
Yeah, good job, Mike. How did you even hear about it, Rob?
Well, Harlan Golb, who is the director of public relations for Florida Atlantic University, reached out to me, probably because, you know, my academic connections, and was kind enough to send a sample CD for me to listen to. And I'll give it to you once I'm done with
it. Yeah.
Because I'm not.
Wow.
I'm going to be listening to it a few more times before I turn it over to anybody. and it really is fantastic. You know, you get worried because you hear – I hate to say this, but I'm an academic, so it's fine. When you hear academic, you go, oh, my God. No. It's going to be like 300 pages about like motifs in Wicked. Like I don't know. I don't care about the motifs in Wicked.
Right.
There's one academic – oh, never mind.
I'm
not going to name them by name. There's one academic who literally writes that every single character in a musical is gay and like lists all the like gay subtextual plots in every single musical that are not there. It's like starting from
Curly
and Judd don't want to fuck. Like, what is wrong with you?
It adds another layer to it, that's for sure.
They don't want to fuck. Even in this new Oklahoma, where people are like, the show's being performed with the house lights on and everyone's wearing like contemporary clothing. Even that director's like, Curly doesn't want to fuck Judd.
No.
Even this guy's literally having like handheld cameras in the actors' faces. And he's like, Curly fucking Judd, that goes a little too far, guys. Even like, he's uncomfortable with it.
Tony and Riff, the whole dynamic in that scene, I can...
Oh my god, I think like Glinda and Elphaba's like another when you hear academic, you're like, oh fuck me.
Eye roll, yeah. But this is not.
It's a beautifully produced album. It is the anecdotes they're telling on there, I'm like, oh, I've never heard that before. And the nice thing that he does is it's a real strong mixture between Golden Age musicals and contemporary musicals. Like to have something from Fiddler and then something from Gentleman's Guide, it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous. Take a listen to it, folks. And like I said, you know, it's so exciting to hear a composer and lyricist sing their songs. Even though they might not have the best voice, there is something so exciting about hearing it filtered through their original intentions. So I think it's in the purest sound. I shouldn't say filter. It's in the purest sound. So that's mine for this week. Once again, it's called Behind the Curtain, Broadway Composers and Lyricists Sing Their Songs. So Kevin, what's yours?
I'm going to take us back in time. I also have an album as well. It's a cast recording. It is from the decade of the 50s. It is the only musical that was written by this team. It was not a hit, and I don't know why I like this musical, but I do. I don't think a lot of our listeners have heard of it. I think some of you have. It is the only Beat Generation musical out there. It was a musical of its era, so it was sort of an anti-Broadway musical in that, you know, the Beat Generation, Allen Ginsberg, Jack Kerouac is very, you know, sorry if you hear screaming, by the way, I've got kids that are next door. But it's a representation of that generation, of that time period. You know, it takes place in Greenwich Village. It's very poetic. Tom Aldridge is in it. And listeners, you, of course, know who he is, but more popularly know him as the narrator in the original Into the Woods. But this is 1959 that this musical came out. It is called The Nervous Set.
You know, I've never listened to this.
I listened to it 20 years ago, and it's just stayed with me, and I revisited it recently. I enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. It's very much, like I said, this Beat Generation thing. It's very of that era. It's very specific to that philosophy and of that time period. The orchestration is bass, piano, guitar, drums. Very basic, but it has this jazzy sort of funky score to it. If you watch Marvis Miss Maisel, you noticed they went to like a beat club and someone was speaking poetry. Yeah. And they snapped their fingers and, you know, the drum, you know, it's just silly like that. But some of these songs are really great. And some of the songs, actually, you might know. One of the more famous songs that came from it that were done on many albums was The Ballad of the Sad Young Men. And then another song
that college.
Another song that was cut from the show out of town, but nonetheless was the most famous song to be recorded by Ella Fitzgerald, and Bette Midler actually did it on one of her albums, is called Spring Can Really Hang You Up the Most, was the song that was written for this. Anyway, The Nervous Set is a really fun musical, jazzy show. It was written by lyrics by Fran Landesman, music composed by Tommy Wolfe. They didn't really write any other shows other than that. But it is a true representation, a representation of a certain time period. And I find the songs really fun. It was not a success on Broadway. It was done in St. Louis first, and it was a huge hit there. And then they brought it to New York. And it's kind of that thing where the whole point of the show is to be anti-establishment, and then here you are running on Broadway. How does that work out? And it unfortunately didn't work out very well for them. But nonetheless, Masterworks recorded the album, and you can still listen to it to this day. And I would give it a listen, everyone, because it is definitely something a little different than what people were listening to at that time period, but I think very valid nonetheless. And I enjoy listening to it. So the Nervous Set is my favorite thing.
That's amazing. I have not. I'm going to go listen to it right now because I've never heard it before. Well, that's great.
Yeah, it's very like you were snapping your fingers like they did in that
Maybe, you know, Daddy-O. Maze Love.
And and they really are. I mean, they're like, man, I'm beat. I mean, they speak the poetry a little bit. They do sing, and the songs are catchy, but it is very much a representation of that time. And
Ooh, I like your line reading. Man, I'm beat.
No, you'll hear it. You'll hear it immediately. The opening number. It's very of that.
Yeah, I want to snap at you now. Now next time I see you, I'm just going to snap at you. Anytime you say something, I'm just going to snap and like smoke a reefer. Yeah, man. Okay, great. I'm going to listen to the Nervous Set. Hey, before we go, You asked me a question during Hades Town that I did not know the answer to. That we were like, maybe our listeners might know. You said there was an article talking about the wonderful composer of Hadestown, and the article said that she is one of four women.
Yes. Oh, sorry. Yeah, I got really excited.
Yeah, yeah. Finish it.
Yeah, Noah Naismith Mitchell, yes. And so this article, I think it was either Vogue or Bazaar, I can't remember, but they said, yes, we have to respect the fact that she wrote the book, music, and lyrics. She's a female writer, and she's the fourth woman to do this on Broadway. And so I read it, and I thought, oh, that's – yeah, more women. And then I thought, okay, well, who are the other ones? And I thought, well, it's not just music and lyrics, because there's a lot of people that just did – music, a lot of female composers that did music. And then I thought, well, but the whole thing, like, you know, like Michael John Lecuza or Meredith Wilson or, you know, and I thought, well, who are the other ones? Why would you just say the fourth one? Like, can we please honor the other three? And then I, for the life of me, I could think of Mickey Grant, but Carol Hall didn't write the book of Best Little Whorehouse.
No.
Gretchen Cryer and Nancy Ford, they didn't write Broadway shows. So I'm trying to think, you guys, what was this article? Were they exaggerating? But did they just mean music and lyrics? Or because it said creating the entire show, book, music, and lyrics. What are the other ones, listeners? Can you please help me? Because for some reason
I don't know either.
I can't figure it out. And Mickey Grant, and I never want to stop saying her name because she is very special. What she did in the 70s and that generation, and she's still with us very much to this day. But who else? What were the other ones, you guys? Tell. I can't think of the other, and I'm embarrassed and I'm ashamed, and I want. If and who they are, I want to herald those names to everybody. Because
I'm just surprised that article didn't like say, and these were the three other women that did this. So,
exactly.
So it has to be a Broadway show. It has to be a woman, and the woman has to have written the book, music, and lyrics.
Created, yeah. Literally, the entire story is from this individual.
Did she do it in conjunction with a collaborator?
The Hadestown?
No. I mean the other women that they mentioned. Like, for example, could you be like, I'm making this up, but like, oh, was Betty? No, that's not a good example. But like, I'm making it up. Like Betty Comden. Like, she wrote the music and lyrics, and she wrote the book in conjunction with like Adolph Green and nine other people.
I'll take it. I just want to know who what woman other women did this, because so, I cannot think of them.
Neither can I. So, folks, let us know who these fabulous women are, so we can honor and celebrate them. Or if the article is incorrect, let us know, so that way we can like stop losing sleep over it. Okay. So then we will see you all next week for more mirth, merriment, and fun. In the meantime, help us out. Solve our questions.
That's right. Thank you. And have a great weekend.
Take care.
Bye.
Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens. Bright copper kettles and warm woolen mittens. Brown paper packages tied up with strings. These are a few of my favorite things. These are a few of my favorite things.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Suf's has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suf'smusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but yeah, not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.